You're listening to Valley Public Radio. I'm Joe Moore. It's a new era for the Fresno Philharmonic as Ray Hatoda, the new music director and conductor of the orchestra, is set to lead the orchestra in her first concert with that title coming up Sunday, October 15th at the Soroyan Theater. She joins us now on the station. Ray, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you back. We talked to you when you were a candidate for this job and also talked to you once you first were awarded this position. Now it's becoming real. This is your first full-time conductor's gig with this orchestra. How excited are you as this concert is approaching?
I am so thrilled and really excited to share this opening concert with everyone here in Fresno. Invitation to all to come and hear me conduct this fantastic orchestra, a gem in this community.
What do you do to prepare for something like this? Not just the regular concert preparation. There's a lot that has gone up to leading to this day on Sunday. Tell me a little about how this is different.
Well, being a music director, I have to actually stop myself and pinch myself sometimes to say, oh, I'm the conductor. I am the music director of your Fresno Philharmonic, instead of saying, oh, I'm the assistant conductor of the Utah Symphony or, you know, something like that, where I've had associate and assistant positions with other major orchestras. This now is my orchestra, and I feel that not only the preparation, but the mindset for me is so different, and the approach is so completely new to me that I am so excited and pumped for this first inaugural season.
So I want to talk about this concert now, and it's a very appropriate first piece that you have for the orchestra, a piece that was commissioned by the New York Philharmonic for its 150th anniversary. It's called New Era Dance. I take it there's some intentional symbolism here.
Yes, it was written in 2000 for the New York Philharmonic. Their new music director at that time was Lauren Mazel. And this piece really symbolizes the political and social change that they were, you know, hoping to have in the turn of the millennium, and how appropriate even now. So this piece is not only symbolic of political and social change, but also sonically and musically, it's incorporating a lot of jazz elements. You will hear towards the end something surprising, which is that the orchestra speaks in this piece. And that's something a little bit different, but it's celebratory in nature. And it's very driving and rhythmic and not percussive, but more dance-like. You know, it's got this extremely exciting energy, which I wanted to bring immediately to the forefront of this concert.
Now, looking at the concert selections that you have set for this Masterworks concert season, almost all of the concerts have either a work from a living composer or a composer from the 20th century. Tell me about your philosophy in trying to introduce maybe new works to audiences when we're trying to reach out to new people. Sometimes 20th century or even 21st century classical music has a reputation of being somewhat challenging. How do you try to navigate that balance there of presenting something familiar and also something fresh?
Well, music is accessible to everyone. That's what I'm thinking. And with the music of our century, of the 21st century, I want it to be something where they can connect the stories behind the piece to the masterworks of the orchestral repertoire. You know, there is a story underlying these wonderful new works that people can relate to, and I'm choosing and specifically picking pieces that really relate to the other pieces, the canons of the orchestral repertoire. Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 4, Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 will have something new with that program. And how does that tie together? And this is the story that I want to try and share with everyone in the audience, that these works, they might be from different centuries, but they do have the same intense story to share with us. And how that unfolds is really up to the listener. You know, curiosity is the forefront of people's minds when they come to our concerts. What does that mean? Oh, a living woman composer? Wow, what does that sound like? You know, let's go on this discovery together.
Again, Ray Hatoda, the new music director and conductor of the Fresno Philharmonic, joins us today. We're talking about her first concert as a leader of the orchestra. You are also a pianist in your musical career. Tell me what the Grieg Piano Concerto means to you. This is also on the bill on Sunday.
That's right. It's an incredible virtuosic work. And Natasha Perinsky is our soloist. I'm so excited and thrilled to work with her. I've never worked with her before, so this will be an exciting week. And I have to say, this is a rock solid piece that's in the piano repertoire. Everyone learns it, and I've never played it. So the other day I sat down, you know, to do a couple of cadenzas and things that I want to make sure that I catch with her this weekend. And I'm sitting at the piano kind of fiddling around with the notes, and I'm amazed just the opening. You know, this incredible timpani roll, and then all of a sudden the pianist comes in with these major and minor chords, and I'm just thinking, how can these chords just cascading down the whole keyboard have such an impact? And it does. And it's just a brilliantly virtuosic work, one that people will recognize, first of all, but also that really showcases the soloist.
Do you go into a piece looking for those particular parts of a work that you want to offer something maybe different or a different interpretation? Do you strategically go into open a score and say, what in here can I put my stamp on? Or is it a different approach? How does that work?
Absolutely. For instance, the final piece on this program is Respighi's Pines of Rome. And the second movement is the Catacombs, Pines near the Catacombs. And I've heard it a million times. I've conducted it. And I wanted to kind of bring a new light to it. And so I was sitting down at the piano, and it's difficult, you know, to realize scores on the piano. But luckily, being a pianist, I have a little bit, of arsenal to pull out to read these scores. And I'm just amazed. I'm always amazed when we break it down and I'm playing the harmonies and I'm playing through it, that the simplicity of it, but also the complexity. And so to be enlightened every time I look at a score that I've done before, it's eye-opening for me, and it's exciting for me. And so then I think, okay, well, how can I do that a little bit differently? Oh, I know, I can do this. You know, I can sustain this sound more than this, voice this chord with a second trombone instead of, you know, bringing out the flute solo. Those kinds of things are really interesting and fascinating to me. It's like, it's a little geeky, I know, and nerdy, but I like finding those little things that make a difference.
Do conductors have problems they have to deal with and are in search of a solution? In so many jobs that we have, we're tasked with taking on a challenge aside from generating new audience and keeping the orchestra strong and serving its community. In that sense, do you sometimes approach a work, and, you know, your husband's also a conductor. A sort of a conductor talk at the kitchen table or the dinner table about, you know, how should I do this? Or maybe
always.
He goes to you and asks the same thing.
Always. And it's always in the middle of, like, when our kids are running around and we're trying to cook dinner and we're trying to get everyone, you know, to the table. Oh, how would you do this movement? Would you do it in three or one? Can we talk about it later? You know, it's always at the wrong time in our household. But yes, we do talk shop all the time, and we talk about repertoire. Would you take this repeat, or would you not take this repeat in Beethoven 5? So it's exciting to live with a conductor. The scheduling is horrendous. But other than that, it's exciting to share ideas in that way.
Speaking of scheduling, will your family be here for this concert to see your debut?
Yes, my mother is coming from Chicago, and my son will be here for this concert.
That has to be a very special moment for you. Now you aren't going to be a full-time Fresno resident. What is the challenge of just of schedules been like for you and your family trying to make everything work?
Well, I feel like I'll be a partial residence here. I want to make sure that I have a foothold in this community, and know that I'm a part of this community is very important to me. You know, it just makes sense right now, because my family's in Illinois, my son's a senior in high school, to have him finish up one more year. It's scheduling is always a challenge to really make sure that I have everything that I need done during the weeks that I'm here. But I love that. I love getting out there, getting to know the community, getting to know different people in the community, and seeing what impact the Fresno Philharmonic can make in this community.
So this concert coming up Sunday is really a showcase for the different sounds an orchestra can create. Looking at this concert, you go from the new piece, New Era Dance, by Aaron J. Kernis, to Edvard Grieg, and then Claude Debussy, and Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. A very different piece, but tell me why this is on the schedule and how it maybe relates to the others.
Yes. So the second half of the program really resonates with the nature surrounding Fresno. And I was thinking, you know, the Pines of Rome, the majestic mountains that we're surrounded by with Yosemite, you know, about 2 hours away. And just the sheer beauty of this area, I was thinking Afternoon of a Faun would be a beautiful way to have nature represented. It is a evocative piece and one that features the flute. So I'm very excited to feature, you know, individual members of the orchestra, this fine orchestra. But and then in relation to the Pines of Rome, you know, again, being a nature-oriented second half, the Afternoon of a Faun is evocative in that it was Nijinsky who did the ballet, the dance to it with Debussy, Claude Debussy, and it's by a poem by Stephanie Mallarmé, a French poet. And it was premiered and written 1 year before the Rite of Spring. You know, so there is all this experimental language being used by the composers, and the dance reflected that as well. And I was fortunate enough to see the ballet done live and with the music. And it's just so, even now, it's riveting and provocative. And so I thought it'd be a nice contrast to the first half, but also kind of sets up the tone for the Respighi Pines of Rome.
And let's go on to that. A very different piece again, a huge sound from the orchestra on this famous work. Is it challenging for the orchestra or for an orchestra to go from all of these different sounds and styles in one concert? And tell me how Pines of Rome fits in here sonically.
Sure. Yes, it is challenging for the orchestra to go from something more intimate like the Debussy to something grandiose and majestic, like the Pines of Rome, only in that, you know, they just have to switch gears and they're incredible musicians. So I don't have any issues or worries about them being able to do that. But it is a different mindset. And that's my job on the podium, is to really bring that to my work in, you know, working through the rehearsals and making this happen. But what's interesting about what we're doing with this piece is we're inviting members of the brass students from the Fresno State University to join us in this piece. And so at the very end, we will have 17 brass players playing the finale at the end, the march to Appia. So again, I'm trying to bring in the community and bring in the wonderful cultural diversity that we have here and give them an opportunity to perform with us.
You've been meeting with a lot of community groups, supporters, other people in the Fresno area as part of your job, because it's not just leading the orchestra on the podium, but also in the community and being a cultural symbol for Fresno. What have you learned? What has that experience been like getting to know people now that you actually have the job and not auditioning in that sense?
Well, first of all, it's a warm and welcoming community. I am just so touched by people reaching out and people just embracing me into this community when I feel that immediately here. And I just so appreciate this incredible city, you know, to embrace me like this. It's really touching. And I don't want to disappoint, you know, so I want to continue this conversations that we're having, and I want to really do something and make a difference here.
Any favorite things that you've gotten to do so far in your time that you have been here, experiences or places you've been, a particularly good meal or anything
yes.
like that?
Yes. Well, first of all, I love to eat, and I love the diversity of the restaurants we have here. The ethnic restaurants are fabulous, so I'm really eager to explore even more of that. And so I'll have to work out more. But anyway, and also I'm from the Midwest, and I am always surprised how amazing the produce is here, and just trying the different fruits and vegetables that are grown in this area. I'm so delighted.
And we are so delighted to have you here in our community and celebrating this new era with the Fresno Philharmonic. Ray Hatoda, the new music director and conductor of the orchestra, leading the Fresno Phil in her first concert as its leader on Sunday, October 15th. 3 p.m. at the Saroyan Theater, featuring music by Edvard Grieg, Claude Debussy, Respighi, and the new piece by Aaron J. Kernis that is coming up again on Sunday. Ray, thank you so much.
Thank you.